Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
Hello.
Lockie, hi.
Hi.
What is happening? This is unusual for us.
I know.
Mid sort of week recording.
Oh, it's been a crazy day, I've got to say.
I'm the same. I literally, just before I got on, I was singing Usher, "Oh my God," because I was like running around like a crazy person trying to do like 100 things. I'm working. Yeah, so that's my day.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
I have spilled Coke all over myself on the way, walking in to set up. So the lower half of my leg is covered in Coke.
Is this
honestly.
Wait, I was just about to say, Lockie, I thought your New Year's resolution was not to drink Coke. Is this how you're so softly announcing to everyone that that's gone?
Yeah, I'm almost like, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm like as bad, but I'm drinking Coke. And now I'm covered in it. It's like a bit of a representation of my day, but it's just, I feel all frazzled.
Oh, gosh. Massive news literally just dropped a few hours ago. I don't know, you take it because you actually were the first, although our Instagram absolutely blew up, you were the first to text me. So,
yeah, so a huge update in the Samantha Murphy case in Ballarat. A 22-year-old man has been arrested. Didn't say, look, obviously,
guess
because
what?
It's
sorry.
Just, yeah.
He has been charged. I got a
with
notification.
Murder?
Yep. Not even 5 minutes ago, I got a notification on my phone that he's actually been charged with murder. Hang on. And obviously, everyone listening, you guys, it's gonna be day. So you're going to have so much more info than we have right this second because we're recording on Thursday. But it actually says, family's relief after a man charged with murdering Samantha Murphy. And that's according to Channel 9. So they have just released that and it was 38 minutes ago. So,
Yeah. So my mum's obviously been messaging me because, you know, how into it she was, and she was wrong. You know, she was so set on the husband. But she sent me a message before and she said, hey, the police did a press conference and said, if you see Samantha, call 000. And like mum's like, that's odd. Like, are they insinuating she's still alive? Like, what does that even mean? But maybe that was just slip of the tongue type of situation earlier in the day, I'm not sure.
And can I tell you, because obviously this broke while I was at work. I haven't had time. I did put something up on our Insta only because we had that many messages. I was like, shit, I better put something up so people know that we know, right? But I haven't had time to really look into it just now when I got into the podcast. It literally came up with a notification that the guy's been charged now. So that's all I know. I will definitely be deep diving tonight into this. But
wild.
Can I tell you though, I cannot believe, because you were adamant as well that it wasn't the husband from the start. So I feel like, it's pretty crazy.
We're on our high horses today.
That it seems to be a 22-year-old. I mean, how he's connected, who knows? But
Yes. Yeah. Also, can we talk about, because we haven't, and I'm dying to know, Kate Middleton.
Oh, how she was missing.
She's been missing since Christmas.
But you know what? And then who knows if this is actually her, because I think, you know, they've got clones out there or, like, people that, like, look like celebrities that they put them in spots, you know what I mean, to just, like, so they can relax a bit. But apparently she was spotted. It must have been, like, a day or a few days ago. I saw it on TikTok with her mum was driving the car. It's, like, one photo of her.
It didn't look like her.
Yes.
It didn't look like her. It looked like Pippa, the sister.
Yes. Can I tell you, I thought this too. I don't know.
There's so many wild theories out there. Like, so she hasn't been doing public duties since Christmas. Then they released that she had a pretty big operation and she wouldn't be returning to work until after Easter. Obviously, that's totally, like, that makes sense if you've had an operation. But people are speculating what this operation was. People are thinking it was a hysterectomy. I don't know why that even matters. People are saying she's in a coma. That's why no one's seen her. People are saying she's died. Like, all of this shit. Like, people are just going off on tangents. People are saying
she's being cloned. Like, they're cloning
her. Cloned. Like, what the heck? Like, maybe she literally had an operation and she's taking some drugs.
It's pretty funny because, you know, me and my conspiracies, I love a good conspiracy, but this one I haven't gotten too deep into. I'm not married to any theory. I do tend to lean towards maybe she's just like, who knows? You know what? It could be something so stupid that her and Will have had a big fight and she just can't be out. And she's like, leave me alone, you know?
I think the theories are running rife because of, like, Prince Charles has cancer, like that was announced. Then one of the, I don't even know what he was, he's committed suicide or he was found dead or something. And then Camilla has also said she's stepping away for a while or something. Like, there's all this stuff happening and people are like, this is weird.
Hey, but wait, did that William, because was there a rumor that he had an affair or something? Because that I could see why she's like.
Yeah.
There's another that rumor as well.
Yeah, that was like late last year.
So, yeah, I don't actually know with that, but I have been seeing these theories flying all over the place and they make me giggle. So,
yeah, very funny. What else did I need to share? I watched that Love a Stalker Killer documentary that we talked about last week.
I haven't watched. I'm so sorry. I have not watched it yet.
Oh, I feel like you'll like it. It's very twisty, twists and turns. It's really good. I think we'll have to definitely do the case for sure. It was a bit like I felt like the whole time I was watching it, my mouth was open. Like, I was it was just one of those things where you could not guess the ending. You could not.
Oh, my goodness. You know? Okay, I have to watch this. Now that I'm going to have a few days, like the long weekend coming up, I would definitely watch it.
I wanted
to tell you quickly that the night before, so Tuesday night, Victor fell off the freaking couch. He went to and he's hurt, he's hip locky, and I've been so stressed. He was at the vet. I took him to the vet yesterday, he's limping. I'm so upset for him.
I know, because poodles get really bad, like hip dysplasia and stuff.
Yeah, and he's limp. Oh, I can't explain to you how stressed out I've been, because I just want him to be okay and be back to being his silly self, you know?
Maybe this will brighten your day a little bit. Virgin Australia just announced that they're going to trial in Australia small dogs and cats on planes in the cabin.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Really? That is amazing. Oh, my God. That is amazing.
I don't know when. I don't know when it's going to start. They're going to trial it from Melbourne Airport. And it's only small dogs and cats, and they have to be able to fit in a carrier, and the carrier has to be under the seat, and they have to stay in the whole time. So you can't take them out to sit on your lap and stuff, but still they don't have to be underneath the plane. They can just sit up with you.
That is, I mean, I don't know how Victor would go in a little carrier, but that is amazing, because if it is, like, I've always wanted to take Vic on like a holiday. And, you know, I see these TikToks and there's dogs like on the plane. Have you seen them? Like,
yeah, like in America, Europe, you can take America. Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So finally.
I think that's exciting.
That is really exciting. Yeah. That makes me happy.
Because, like, think about if you had to move state. Like, I would not move state purely because I wouldn't want to put Olive on an airplane.
I know, and you'd have to drive it. You would actually
have to drive it.
Yeah, 100%. I could not put that Victor underneath on an aeroplane. Like, he would actually, I don't know what would happen, but he would not be okay, you know?
No. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. So good news.
Yeah, that's very good news. I did want to tell our listeners that it is fig season. I know it's random, but figs.
I know you
are my favorite fruit in the world. And they're only around for like 2-3 weeks. So go out and get yourself a fig if you can. Find someone's tree. Pick it up. Yeah, pick it up.
Before we get into it, because I know we're going to have lots of conversations today, but I did want to just do a bit of a shout out to our avid listener, Deb. I know she actually, I think she messages you on Instagram a bit, but every time I post the episode on Spotify, you can interact with our episodes, you can comment and stuff. And she comments like every week. She comments and she'll just say like great episode or what she thinks or anything. Like she is always kind of commenting. But I just wanted to say, Deb, I don't know why, but I can't, like, you can't actually reply. It's more just like people put comments on and that's that. I can't actually go in and like say thanks for listening or anything like that. So I just wanted to say we see you. We love your comments.
That is cool as.
Yeah. I'm not like not replying because we don't care. I just physically can't.
That is so cool. Well, yeah, hopefully now that people know they can comment, they can leave some more comments and get into some discussions. Yeah, they're going to go check that out. I didn't even know that was a thing because I listen on Apple, so did not know that was a thing. Hey, actually, before we get started as well, there is something that we probably should share with everyone. I thought it was pretty funny and I'll just – can I tell you, Lockie? When you told me last week what case we were doing, I must have just written down a first name.
Yeah, I forgot about this.
So Lockie told me what case she's going to do. I've written down a first name and that's it. I don't know why. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, so I've gone and I've started researching this case that I thought we were covering. I'm writing notes. I'm getting really into it. On a Monday night, I messaged Lockie the following
week. Can I read it out, please? Can I read out what you messaged me? So, no context. She just sent me this. Sorry, I got to scroll up. Yeah, there's no context. She just sent me this random message and it said... read it. Okay. Sex with a sheep and wire up bums. What a case. I read it and I was like, because I hadn't looked into it that much yet. And I'm like, maybe this is not the one I'm thinking of. And then I started Googling and I'm like, no, wait, this is not the one we're doing.
Wow. I was researching the wrong freaking case. And thank goodness, Lockie, that I messaged you that because imagine you sent me the notes or I got on today. I would have had no idea about this case and I would have missed out on maybe this case is like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's really full on and it's gotten me good. Like I will be researching this even after we've covered it because I'm so into it. Like I've become, my obsession has just begun. So I just wanted to say, now that, oh my gosh, one, that I would have been devastated that I missed out on this. And two, I cannot believe I started researching the wrong case. Yeah.
That is just so funny. It was the funniest message. But I guess without further ado, should we get into this week?
Please, let's do it.
Police are pleading for help to solve the cold case murder of a Boronia mother 40 years ago. Nanette Ellis was stabbed to death inside her family home on the night of February 10, 1984. The 41-year-old mother of two had been subjected to vandal attacks in the days leading up to her death. Police are offering a $500,000 reward in the hope of finding new leads to unmask Nanette's killers.
Okay, so this case that we are about to start was requested by our listener, Gav, and Gav is a big fan of the podcast. He interacts with us quite a bit. He has a lot of information to share and we really appreciate his input. And again, this is another, like, Gav has hit the nail on the head. This case is freaking crazy. I don't even know.
Yes. If
that's the right way to put it. It's like full on, right? So it's another Australian case. We've been really hitting it home with the Australian cases lately. And it happened in 1984 in Boronia, which is a suburb in East Melbourne, which, again, we both live near or lived. I lived near. So we know the area really well. And it's just wild to me that this happened, I guess, so close to home.
And I didn't know about it. I did not know about this case, Lockie.
No. Yeah. I feel like Boronia is a bit cursed. I don't know. I feel like all of the Melbourne, like the full-on Melbourne cases are all around there.
I know. And there's so much unsolved stuff happening, let's just say, in a 30-year span, like around the Boronia area, which now has creeped the F out of me.
Yeah. So today we are talking about the case of Nanette Ellis. And can I just tell you, before I get into the details, when I was writing these notes, I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, Nanette, that's a weird name. Like, you don't hear that very often.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the doctor's today.
Oh, my gosh.
And I overhear this lady at the reception, and the receptionist goes, thanks, Nanette. And I'm like, what the heck? I've never heard someone called Nanette before. Never heard, like, a person in passing, nothing like that. I'm like, what are the chances of that today?
I'm exactly this. This is not a name that I know at all. Like, I don't know anyone named this. I haven't even heard of this name before, and it's such a pretty name.
Yeah. So Nanette Ellis was a 41-year-old single mum to two boys. In 1984, at the time of this crime, she had Greg, who was 16, and Craig, who was 18. So she was raising two teenage boys by herself, and she lived in Boronia in Manuka Drive, a house that she owned. Nanette was divorced. Her ex-husband was Mark Ellis. I don't know when exactly they divorced, and I think they did have a bit of a rocky divorce, but all accounts, they were pretty, like, on good terms, like, for the boys. Nanette has been described as very striking. Like, she was really attractive, and she was really pretty. Like, if you look at photos, she's like a model. Like, she looks like a model.
Stunning. She's actually stunning. And I don't know if you saw that she had actually, through her work, they had asked her to, like, advertisers had actually asked her to work as a model for them.
Yeah. So she was an editor or an advertising manager or something for a small newspaper in, like, the Ferntree Gully, Belgrave area. And, yeah, clients would ask her to model for their ads. She was really pretty. So Nanette worked for this newspaper in Belgrave, which was a 20-minute drive away from her home in Boronia. So this case happens in February in 1984. It was 5:15 p.m. when Nanette arrived home from work. This was a Friday afternoon, and a witness saw her pulling into her driveway. The plan for Nanette's Friday night was that she was going to head out with some friends from work for, like, a girls' night, and she was being picked up at 6 p.m. So she only had 45 minutes to get ready.
Yes, but, sorry, Lucky, can I just say something? Mm-hmm. All the articles say that she was being picked up, but I recently have heard, like, a few, I think it was through actually a YouTube channel called Crime Scene, that she was actually meant to be meeting at her friend's at 6 o'clock, and then they were going to be picked up from there. So they were, I don't think her friends were coming to her house.
Coming to get her.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And that's a huge, for me, that was a huge question in the case, so it's good to clarify that now, I suppose. Because she only had a limited amount of time to get ready, she had actually laid her outfit out, like, the night earlier in the morning, so she could just kind of come home, get changed, and go. Her son, Craig, was working on his car at the home in the afternoon, but he left at about 4:30 p.m. I think he was going to, like, the drive-in with his friends or something. And then her other son, Greg, he had been home after school, but then he'd went to go hang out with friends, and then he came back to the house just after 6 p.m. and the front door was unlocked. So remember, Nanette should have been gone by this point. So Greg headed inside into the kitchen to see what was for dinner. He walked down the hallway and noticed blood on the carpet and the wall opposite the door to Nanette's bedroom. So he walked into his mum's room, and he noticed that the radio was on really, really loudly. However, this didn't seem abnormal to Greg because Nanette was a little bit deaf in one of her ears. Greg then noticed blood leading to the laundry. So he obviously went to investigate and walked into the laundry, and he noticed, like, the back door to the home, which was in the laundry, was open. And he could see his mum lying on the porch. Nanette's eyes were open and she was very, very still, and Greg knew straight away that she had died. So Greg, mind you, remember, Greg is 16. Greg screamed, ran back through the house out the front door, and he ran to a neighbor's house. And this neighbor was like a family called the Hutchinsons. So he goes into the Hutchinson's home and he talks to the dad, Mr. Hutchinson, and says, you've got to come and look like something's happened.
Mm.
So Greg and Mr. Hutchinson go back to the house. Mr. Hutchinson goes out to look and comes back in and says, Greg, you need to call the police.
Yep. And Greg, actually, it's important to note as well, Greg was actually, from my understanding, at the Hutchinsons that afternoon. So that's where he mm-hmm. was hanging out before he came home.
Yes. So Craig arrived home while Mr. Hutchinson and Greg were waiting out the front of the house for emergency services to arrive. And when Craig kind of pulled in and got out of the car and was like, what's going on? Mr. Hutchinson broke the news to Craig that his mum had passed away. Craig then, this is where it gets like, Craig's done an interview about this moment in his life, and he says, you know, he's trying to get inside or he's trying to get around the back, and Mr. Hutchinson is like pulling him away, like, no, don't go, don't go. Mm-hmm. So he jumps back in his car and he speeds off. He leaves the house, and he reportedly goes to his friend's house in Bayswater, which is like the suburb over. Not long after he left, he called the house and went back to the house. So obviously he was just like in a bit of a
shock. What happened? Like, what the heck? And maybe he's like, is this real? Like, he's gone to his friend's house, and then they're like, no, hang on, like, maybe you misunderstood. What did you see? And then they've called the house. This is just what I'm thinking. Then they've called the house, and the police have said, listen, just can you come home? So,
yeah. So Craig arrives back at the house, and this is like the police had arrived by this point. Craig says there was police everywhere, and Greg and Craig's father, Mark, and Mark's new wife, so the stepmom, were also there as well. So there was other people, like friends and family, people from the street. Like, it was just chaos. Yeah. So what the police find is that Nanette was stabbed to death in what police described as a frenzied attack. It appeared she had been stabbed in the neck from behind. Her vocal cords were cut, so she was unable to scream, and her jugular vein was also slashed.
You know what else I saw, Lockie? That her finger had been severed. Oh. Obviously, she was probably, well, she would have been fighting for her life, and apparently, like, the house was just covered in blood. And so yeah. Something else I found a little bit interesting as well is, I think it's in the autopsy or might be in a police report, they actually talk about that she had like clumps of hair in her hands. And I think one of the clumps was all like, there was hair in her hands, and one of it looked like it was from their dog, and the other one was like from her own hair. Just such a strange scene. Weird. Yeah. Mm.
So Nanette was killed in the clothes that she wore to work that day, leading police to believe that she was killed not long after she arrived home. So now we're looking at like a 45-minute window, because she got home at 5:15. Mm-hmm. Her belt was undone and the button on her pants was undone, and the zip, I think, as if she was getting changed, you know, like she was obviously going to get changed to go out. There was no evidence of sexual assault. I know that there is a few questions about this, the belt being undone and the buttons being undone, but like I, when I get home from work, I undo my jeans straight away. So like, I don't find that odd.
Yeah, same. I'm not going to lie. Mm. There are times, exactly, there's times that I do it when I get in the car. I'm like, oh, God. Like, you're wearing my freaking jeans. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be comfortable getting home. Like, neighbor's probably like, what is this freak doing? But I usually carry my bag. This can't be anything. But anyway, yeah, I don't think it's weird at all.
No. So obviously the scene is weird enough, but it does get weirder. So in the weeks leading up to her murder, Nanette experienced some abnormal attacks on her car, and you could say her as well. Nanette had a yellow 1976 Corolla. So on the 31st of Jan, this is 10 days before her murder, her car was pelted with rocks while driving to work down Monbulk Road. And one of the rocks that got pelted at her car got caught in her radiator, which then led to her car overheating. And the car had to go to a mechanic. Like, it was full, like, it was full damage from these rocks.
But can I tell you something about this? Sorry, there's a few things. I was just telling you before we jumped on as well, I've been up since like 1:30 a.m. reading about this. I got so into it, right? one. Now, apparently that first incident, it was like she heard two bangs, but they were separate bangs, and she didn't realize with that particular, at that particular time, that she had had rocks thrown at her. It wasn't until the radiator went, and I think this was like half an hour later, so all the water had come out, that, and then they looked into the radiator, that they saw that there was a rock in there. So again, depending on, like, there's so many articles and stuff out there. Some say that, like, all these rocks were being thrown at her. Others say there was just like a rock or two that, do you know what I mean, had hit her car. I don't actually know the answer to this, but I did find it interesting that it wasn't until, well, it's reported, it wasn't until the radiator broke that she realized there was a rock in there, even though she heard noises. And another thing, right, is her ex-husband was actually a mechanic. And it's his garage that her car was sent to for this radiator problem.
Yeah, because the following day, again, she drives to work and her car, again, is hit with rocks. This time it shatters the windscreen. A lot of people question how the car got fixed from the first attack so quickly that it was on the road the next day. But obviously that makes sense with, you know, her ex-husband being a mechanic and stuff. But, yeah, so this rock incident happened again, shattered her windscreen.
How scary.
Police also said that there was other reports, like other cars were getting damaged in the same area, like as if to say, like, Nanette wasn't being targeted. It was like a general thing. However, it appeared from later events that Nanette was actually being targeted. So,
well, to the point, she was scared, Lockie. Like, you know, she had friends sleeping over at her house most nights that week that this happened. And again, it's reported she kept a gun and baseball bat next to her front door.
Yeah.
But it's later, again, can I tell you, the only actual place that has, like, information just coming out, they're doing their own little investigation, is this YouTube channel called Crime Scene. And they've probably been reporting over the last year or two, and they just put out, like, little bits of information. But there's not, apart from that podcast we were talking about earlier, and it's actually slipped my mind. I don't know if you remember what it was called, but that's the only other podcast that do an interview with Craig. But in saying that, they don't really cover the actual case, if that makes sense. They talk to him about it, but they don't do, like, a full coverage of the case. So,
yeah, that's the Michelle Laurie.
Yes.
Michelle Laurie case. So, yeah, like, she was really afraid, and the attacks didn't stop there. So on the 4th of February, 6 days before her murder, someone threw paint on her car. And I think this was at about midnight, was it, Karina?
I don't know the exact overnight time. Yeah, I don't know actually if it was. I know it was in the evening, but I don't have a time in my notes. Sorry.
Yeah, so someone threw paint on her car. And then 2 days after that, on the 6th of February, someone came, slashed the tires of her car, ripped off her number plates, bent back her windscreen wipers, like, fully vandalized her car, right?
Yeah, and that was I remember from memory, that was a Saturday night, and I'm pretty sure one of the boys actually found her number plate in a neighbor's bush, right? In the neighbor's bush. And something else as well, it's reported that this neighbor was painting their house, and apparently he had said that he had four paint cans on his, like, back veranda, but one was missing. So I wonder if it's that paint can that was taken and used on her car.
Yeah, possibly. I think it was, like, a brownie, fawny color, like, not like a, like, blue or red.
And do you know what the thing is? I could be wrong here, but from my understanding, the paint that was thrown on her car, well, I thought it looks like it's black, because I've seen photos and it looks like you can see it's sort of been cleared off. But the neighbor's paint thing, I think it was white. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't, as I said, it's really hard to really, like, narrow down details here. So I could be wrong in that sense. But I did find it interesting that he was painting his house and that one of his paint cans was missing. So, yeah.
Yes. Very interesting. So obviously after all these attacks and Nanette being afraid, the police reportedly escorted her to and from work, and this includes the morning of her murder on the 10th of February. One of my questions is, if if the police escorted her to work on the 10th, how did someone see her pulling into her driveway? Like, how did she get a car? Like, did someone drop her off? Was it the police? Like,
I think I know the answer. Well, okay. I could know the answer. So yes, she was escorted to work that morning, the Friday that she was murdered, right? But she, on the way home, I think she was meant to leave, like, obviously normal time, 5, but she called the police, I think at like 3:30 that afternoon, and told them, listen, I'm going to finish early today. So I think she was just calling to let them know that she was going to finish early. And they said, no worries, like, we'll touch base with you on Monday. So one of my questions is, why is this only like a Monday to Friday sort of thing? Like, I'm a bit confused about that. But another question I have is, she did end up staying back at work until 5 p.m. that day. And well, we know this because the receptionist that worked with her reportedly left, has said that she left, like, they left at the same time together, and that she had helped Nanette carry, I think it was like a vacuum, a container, and I don't even know, something else, to her car. So if that statement's on file, it means she did stay back at work, but then why did she call work and tell them she was leaving early? I'm confused about that. And then why did the police are like, yeah, no worries, like, the weekends are fine. Like, I don't get it.
But how did the car get to work for her to drive, then drive it home?
No, I think she drove it to work. And when you say that they escorted her, I think that they were escorting her as in they were following her to and from work. I don't think they were taking her.
Yeah, they weren't driving her in the car. Yeah, yes, that would make sense.
They're trying to figure out who's doing this. So that's my understanding anyway. And I'm actually really curious whether they were using, I think a few of the times early on when nothing was happening, they were using like a police car. But I wonder, I mean, it would have made more sense. Hopefully by then they realized, we should be using an undercover car. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think after the 6th, not much else happened. And I think that maybe, like Craig says, they thought that because the police were escorting her, maybe people saw the police involved, got scared and stopped. Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know that on the Tuesday night of her, so if she was murdered on the, oh no, that might have been the 6th actually. I'm so bad with dates and maths, obviously figuring this out. But on the Tuesday night before she was murdered, so she's murdered on the Friday night, I think they actually did a stakeout at her house till 11 p.m. And they didn't come up with anything. Like, they didn't, do you know what I mean? There was no one. I think they caught Craig and Greg, like, sneaking out of the house, but they're teenagers. Like, I didn't really put too much to that, you know what I mean? But yeah. I don't think they actually caught anything else happening. But it was in the week, obviously, before then when all this stuff was taking place.
Yeah, so she's being harassed, really. Like, she's having all these attacks, and then obviously she was murdered. So a few years after Nanette's death, Craig and Greg actually found out from their grandmother, which was Nanette's mum, that they had a half-sister, and that when Nanette was 18, she actually had given birth to a little girl they named Janet, but they gave her up for adoption.
This is so sad.
And sorry, you go.
Oh, no, oh, sorry, Lockie. I was just going to say it's sad because I don't think she wanted to give up her baby, but she was sort of forced into doing it. And the guy wanted to marry her. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Sad.
So Janet had, I mean, I don't know, this could be related. I'm just going to put it in, but Janet had a pretty difficult upbringing, like with her, you know, adoptive family. She was a pretty troubled kid, and she found out when she met and reconnected with Craig and Greg that they actually grew up like a few suburbs apart. So she was so close to her biological mother all her life, and she had no idea. And it's reported now that Janet has a relationship with Craig and Greg, you know, that they see her like a sister, which I guess is one positive from this. But following the investigation, both Greg and Craig were ruled out, as well as Nanette's ex-husband, Max Ellis. Police have stated.
Is it Mark?
I think it's Max.
Yeah, Max. Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah.
The police stated that they didn't believe that the rock throwing was related to her murder. Because other people had their cars damaged. But, I mean, like, It's hard to say. And then apparently, like, there was a few other cars vandalized in the area at the same time as her. And I don't know. Do you think it's related?
I've got so much to get into with you. Like, you're actually going to, yes. Yeah.
should we put a pin in this? And
yeah, put a pin in that for now.
Okay. So while the police were investigating, they reportedly conducted a pretty extensive investigation in 1984, but they had no real identified suspects in the case. It was a really weird one to the police investigating because Nanette lived a very sheltered life. She didn't, you know, run in bad circles. She didn't engage in anything criminal. She didn't have friends that were criminals. You know, she kept really quiet. You know, she just didn't have really like a high risk life for things like this to happen to her. So it was really hard for them to come up with why she would have been killed this way.
Yeah.
Police did look into Peter Dupas, which was a Victorian serial rapist and serial killer. He was reportedly investigated and ruled out for the crime, and they thought he could be involved because of the way she was killed. I think he stabbed women. But yeah, he was ruled out. But there's no real identified possible suspect in the murder at all. Mm. I just, one point I did wanted to put in because I did find it really sad. Nanette's sister also has struggled with life after the death of her sister. Craig said in that podcast that we spoke about earlier that Nanette's sister had to deal with a lot of like the logistical things after Nanette passed away, like cleaning out her house and doing all that stuff. Craig says that the police or the state or whoever's responsible didn't provide cleaning services for the crime scene, and Nanette's sister had to clean it up.
I heard that as well, Lockie, and I cannot believe that. That shook me. That is ridiculous.
Like, I just think that's
surely
wild.
There's something like some sort of support for the families. What the heck?
So I was going to, like, normally when we do these episodes, we go into some theories, but like, I don't really have any theories. Like, I don't really know. I've got probably more questions. Yeah. So the first question I wrote down, which you've answered for me, is why did her friends not come and pick her up? But I think we've figured out that, because I was like, if people were going to pick her up, wouldn't they have come and seen what was going on?
And then her friends that were staying over, so you'd think that they would have been, you know what I mean, like a little bit more sort of weary of her being home alone. But obviously she was meant to meet them, and I've got a feeling that one of her friends in particular had been calling her like nonstop from 5:15, and then when it got to, well, don't quote me, maybe like 6:30 or so, they called the house and police answered, and then they went obviously over to Nanette's and were questioned by police. So that's my understanding of what happened with her friends that night.
Another question I had was, why did Greg say in his statement that he went to see what he was having for dinner? Like, did Greg not know that Nanette was going out that night? Because I thought maybe it was like a bit of a spur of the moment decision at work that day, but then Craig knew she was going out that night, but Greg didn't.
But you know what I was thinking? So Craig was like older, so he probably, like, he was at home, he was working on his car majority of the day, so she would have been able to call him at home and tell him. Whereas Greg's still in high school and there's no mobiles, and so how the heck would she have told him that she was going to eat? She was probably hoping either Craig would tell him, or I feel like in the 90s, like, my mum used to leave me notes all the time. So it could have just been like she thought that I'll just leave him a note before I leave, you know, like, I don't know, get a frozen pizza out of the fridge or something, like, you know.
Mm. Also, like, because obviously the murder happened so quickly, like, I do question whether the killer was already inside the home when she got home from work.
Mm.
They have to have been close by. They have to either have been waiting for her, like watching her house, or they had to have been inside.
Something I find crazy is, though, that, like you said, Greg had come home from school. Then he'd gone out. I think he'd gone to get like cat food. And then he went back home. And then he went to the neighbor's house. And Craig was home until like 4:30 working on his car. So there's only like 45 minutes max.
Mm. Yeah.
that, you know, that is a bit of time, but still, like, how do they, it seems like the kids, and at that age, people just pop in and out. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
the fact that they're just around the corner, or, you know, in and out, wouldn't that make you a little bit scared as to be hiding in the house? It wasn't a massive house. I actually found a floor plan, so I'll be sure to pop that on our Insta, but it's not a big house. I feel like it's not like you'd have a lot of places to hide in there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very weird. Another question I had was whether Nanette had any relationships, like romantic relationships. Was she seeing anyone at the time? I reckon it's likely she didn't, because I think we would know, or it would have been reported on.
I found this actually such a freaking interesting fact when I scrolled across it, and I've seen it now reported sort of more than once. But Lockie, you know that Nanette slept in a single bed? I think that tells you so much. Yeah. Doesn't that tell you heaps?
Yeah, she just wasn't a scene.
Yeah, like, I feel like she just, like, I don't know, like, as a lady in her 40s and she just slept in a single bed, I don't know why, that just makes me think she wasn't, like, well, she wasn't bringing men home, that's for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
There is something as well that I've come across, and apparently there was a guy hitting on her when she had gone out one night, like, to Chapel Street or something, right? And apparently this guy was super, like, coming on to, was really pushy, and she told both a friend and Greg, so remember, that's the youngest son, and they obviously went on to report that to police. And this guy was like an ex-Vietnam vet. He had told her that he had been, like, divorced 4 times. He told her that he had a baby, or he bore a kid when he was like 13 years old. Like, all these weird facts that the friend, like, one of this friend and Greg went to police with. Like, I feel like that's so much information to tell your kid. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I just felt that was a little bit odd. But she did give him a fake name, a fake number, and a fake address. And, you know, police did track this guy down, and I think he was ruled out. Like, he didn't have anything to do with it. But I just thought that was, like, an interesting fact to put in there.
But it just, again, also proves how sheltered she lived. You know, like, yeah, she wasn't even worth her, for her running the risk of giving someone her number.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah, I think we would have known if she had a boyfriend or was seeing someone, because I think they definitely would have been probably named or been a person of interest. So
I think it's more likely it's someone that freaking knew, like, even from work, a client. Like, she, like you said, she was drop dead gorgeous. And if she's not giving attention, or she's just not interested, maybe that's just rubbed someone up the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, I've got like 100 questions that I want to talk to you about as well. But I don't know why. I'm more likely leaning toward, like, I think she knew them. But, I just don't think she was interested in dating at that specific time in her life.
And then my last question, do you think the adoption at 18 was related?
Well, you know, again, I did read a little bit about this, and apparently police did speak to the ex-boyfriend, or the father, or Jeanette's father, and I don't think he is a suspect. So they obviously, police have dug so much into this, and the fact that they are contacting, like, you know, her ex-boyfriend, and they've tracked down this guy from the club and things like that, make me think that they, you know, they are really working the case. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is here. I feel like that, again, I've still got so many questions. Can we get into some of the questions I've got?
Yeah, I want to hear
your thoughts, right? So one of my huge things that I got stuck on is the damage to the car. Like, I don't understand why the police took her vandalism so seriously if they didn't. Like, was everybody else that's cars were getting vandalized, were they getting the same treatment? Like, what did they know? You know, I just find it weird.
Yeah.
Because it was only over, let's just say, I think, I'm going way off my memory, but I think that, like, the first bit of vandalism happened in Jan, right? Yeah. So it's not like it's been going on for years or months, like, but they took it pretty seriously, which honestly, I do think they should take this sort of stuff very seriously. I just find it odd because I feel like most times they don't take it seriously.
And the whole escort thing is weird as well. Like, yeah. Did she say to them, can you escort me to work, or did they suggest it? Like, I feel like even now in this day and age, that wouldn't happen.
Yes. You know? And why was it only to and from work? Did they think, or did she think it was something work related? Like, why weren't they monitoring her on the weekend? Yeah. Why did they say, I don't know why I find this so freaking strange. If they're going to a house, it's not like it's only happening at work. If they've gone to a house and are vandalizing her car at her house, why don't they care what she's doing on the weekend?
Yeah.
It's weird. And obviously they did do surveillance at her house, like I was saying earlier, up until 11 p.m. that Tuesday night. I think it was a Tuesday anyway, before she died. Another thing I think is, like, was this random, as in, let's just say, was this just randomly happening to a few people, the rocks at the car, and then someone's like, this is the freaking perfect opportunity to use this as a cover? You know what I mean? You don't reckon? Or something else, another question I've got. Did this rock throwing continue after the murder?
Were other people, that's what I want to know. Yeah.
Don't you think? Because I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Because if it did, then it's not related. If it didn't, then someone is definitely either using it as an excuse or, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something else going on there. Something I keep thinking to myself is, and I know we've spoken about a bit, but was, like, I think she was scared, right? Like, there's evidence to show that she was keeping protection by the door. She had her friend sleeping over with her and things like that. But then why did she feel okay to be alone at home that afternoon and have the music up so loud?
Well, I think is the question, was the music turned up by the killer?
You think the killer turned that up after? Can I tell you, the killer's not just going to go into your house, switch on your radio and put the music on and then start killing you. They'd have to kill you and then put the music on.
Yeah, but maybe that's what they did. Maybe they stabbed her once and then thought she's going to put up a fight and scream and whatever, and they turned it up and then kept killing her. Because honestly, when I read that, I was like, killer would have done that to mask the screams.
Yes.
Don't know.
I just don't know how that events take place in that order, and especially because I'm pretty sure the radio was in her room. So it's not like then they've gone into her room to put on the radio. I don't know. I just feel like it's so much extra. Like, by then, she would have – it sounds really bad, but she might have already passed by then. And then what's the point of going, spending more time in the house, going to turn on a radio when there's going to be no more yelling? You know?
Yeah.
And you're going to leave her mid-attack because then she can escape to go put on a radio. It just doesn't make sense. That radio thing doesn't make sense to me. Another thing that gets me is, how the heck were there no witnesses? This was daylight savings at 6 o'clock in the middle of the suburbs. Like,
yeah, if someone noticed her pulling into her drive, how did they not notice anything else?
And this guy would have been covered in blood. From my understanding, it was a very bloody crime scene. They would have been covered in blood. Where the heck did they go? Like, was there footprints leading out to the street? Like, where did this person go? You know what I mean? Like, I know that there's random, like, you can tell that they've sort of touched things in the house, I think near the front door and maybe in the kitchen as well, which I need to tell you something really quickly as well in a sec, right? I cannot forget to tell you this because it's crazy. But, yeah, I feel like they've definitely moved around the house, and there's evidence to show that they've moved around the house. I think there's a little bit of blood on her car as well, so they've obviously gone out the front door. But where did they go from there? Also, Greg saw three people when he was going home. This is before he found that his mum had been murdered, and when he was going back out to the Hutchinsons for help, he saw three people, and police did track down these three witnesses. They spoke to them. Obviously, do you know what I mean? I'm guessing they've been ruled out. But the fact that he saw three people in the space of, like, a few minutes, how was there nobody else around to see anything else? Like, is this just chance?
Yeah. You know, I do get this weird, like, gut feeling that maybe the police were involved. Like, not involved. Like, I don't know how to say it. Like, I just feel like obviously they did a really big investigation and nothing came of it. They were happy to escort her. Like, did someone in the police force maybe, like, have a crush on her or something? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just get this feeling like either they were involved or someone in the police force was involved, or they know and it's a cover up. Just feel like we should know some more, something more.
It's weird that there's not much info on it. It's very freaking strange. You know that they do have DNA though. And in my head, I'm like wondering, you know, how we always talk about like that ancestry.com, because you don't need the actual person, but I wonder, have they, you like, now there's so much, like 40 years later, there's so many developments like out there that are from like ancestry or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like DNA has come so far. It makes me freaking wonder, like, are they investigating with the DNA at the moment?
Like, my question, when you're a police officer, do you have to
give DNA?
Is your DNA in the system? Because obviously, as a normal person in the public, we're not in the system unless we commit a crime. Is that the same for police?
See, that would be that's a very interesting question. I actually have no idea. And it would make sense that their DNA would be in some sort of database, because think about if they're going to crime scenes and things like that, obviously they need to be the ones that are eliminated. You know what I mean? From the crime scene, like if they touch stuff, I would think they'd have to be, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't, you know?
I would like to know. And I think Maggie that is a listener that works, I don't know, there's some ties there or something. Maybe she would know.
Oh, yeah. I can't actually remember. But yeah, no, we maybe, if anyone knows about that, definitely reach out to us. Because yeah, that's something I would be so freaking interested in. You know, for me though, I don't think it's random. I think it's someone she knew. I just think they knew too much for it to be a random person, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like just the timing and stuff. And can I just tell you, I just want to say something a little bit crazy. But as you know, like the ex-husband and the sons, as you mentioned, have all been ruled out. But originally, when I first read the case, I had a theory that made so much sense to me. And if you look online, I'm like not the only person with this theory. And I can see why so many people think this. Like, I thought it was suspicious that things were happening to her car and her ex-husband was a mechanic. I don't know why. I was just like, is someone trying to push them together? Like, is it something to do with, you know what I mean? Like, getting them together. Obviously, like her immediate family have been ruled out, but that is what a lot of the theories online are sort of pushing towards. But now, I don't know freaking why, but could it be one of the son's friends?
Yeah, I did think about this.
Do you know why, right? Because so she had a dog. And the dog wasn't barking. Like, there were no reports of the dog barking. Makes me think that they'd be familiar to the house. Also, this is what I was like, oh, my God, I cannot remember. I can't forget to tell you this, is apparently she had a set of four knives in her kitchen, and the biggest one was lying on the counter with blood around it. Was this the murder weapon? Police have obviously not mentioned a word murder weapon, whether it's found, but they always hold back information like this, right? But this just speaks volumes to me. Like, if someone's gone there without a weapon, she's let them in. I feel like they're known to her.
Yeah.
You know, and the vandalism for me makes it think it's a teenager or a young adult, which is why I feel like it's like a young boy. Like, if could he have a crush? Could one of the teenage boy's friends have a crush on her?
Yeah.
Because she's gorgeous. Because,
like, I think if it was a stalker, wouldn't it have a sexual element to it?
That's the thing. But maybe they – that's so true though. If it was like a crush.
So, yeah.
They didn't have much time. Don't forget, they didn't have much time. So maybe they just did it and it was like, I don't know. They just thought, well, we can never, like, she's turned them down, like, nicely, thought they were cute, like, oh, you know, you're so sweet, don't, you know, whatever, it's my son's friend or something. And then, like, I don't know why. And sorry, one other thing is, apparently there was, like, a pantyhose. Like, I don't know if it was, like, it was her pantyhose. I don't know if it was, like, a packeted pantyhose or something left in one of the boys' bedrooms, like, by the door. So, like, was she talking? Like, it would make sense. Like, let's just say her son's friends come home or go to her house. I'm like, oh, can I wait here for Craig? Can I wait here for Greg? And she's like, yeah, sure. In her head, she's like, oh, my gosh, like, once I'm not home alone. So she feels like they're harmless. They're a young kid. But maybe after, you know what it is, after last week or the week before and that 14-year-old kid, like now I've just got no age barrier in my mind. You know what I mean? And I don't know why this makes me feel like it's a teenage boy.
My gut feel is someone linked to the police. Whether that be a police officer or whatever. That's just the feeling I get. I don't know why, and I feel like I can't explain it, but.
Yeah, and do you know what? You know, this is just last night. As I said, I was freaking deep down into this thing like very late last night. And there's this guy on Web Sleuth, right? And he says that he's got a lot of information. And if you message him or reach out to him, he can send you some information. Maybe I should just do it. I'm just curious. Like, I can't stop thinking about this case.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
So, yes. Anyway, yes, I am definitely leaning towards like some sort of neighbor boy or, I don't know, friend of the boys, something like that. I don't know why I feel like that. It's just where I'm heading.
Where you're at. So we've actually just passed the 40-year anniversary of Nanette's murder, and it is still unsolved and it's still open, and there is a $500,000 reward for information into Nanette's murder. So if you or anyone you know have any information, please contact Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000. But yeah, that's the case. Like I mentioned at the start, requested by Gav. Gav has a lot of case information, so I wonder if he has anything that we didn't speak about. I'll be interested to see whether he reaches out to us. But yeah, that's the case of Nanette Alice.
Yes, horrible,
crazy,
sad case. Yeah.
So if you have a case you want us to cover, you can send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @CaffeineCrimeAndCanines, or you can head to our website and leave a request in the request box. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review, head to our website to purchase some merchandise, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CaffeineCrimeCanines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.